It takes a special sort of man to step into the world of politics. It takes a whole other sort to step back out. Scott Beeson is that whole other sort.
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
It's The Scott Beeson Show.
Welcome to the program, everybody. Scott Beeson Radio. On this day, it is a rainy, rainy Thursday here in the heart of Dixie, the very center of God's country, the 20th day of February in the year of our Lord, 2020. I hope you've had a fantastic morning, and I hope you've noticed that I actually did put something out on social media last night. Yes, it was late. Yes, I went to basketball practice. Yes, I did all the things a good dad is supposed to do, and I got around to announcing the fact that we've got a very special guest on the show. And he is actually with us. He is prompt. He gets places on time. Senator Jeff Sessions is with us this morning. Senator, how are you?
Good, Scott. It's good to be back with you, and appreciate the values you've always pushed.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that very, very much. I know we don't have a lot of time. I do appreciate you being willing to come on for the show. We're going to go at least for 30 minutes. And what I like to tell people is, and for you also, we're very comfortable here. If you need some coffee or need some crackers or want to eat anything, I eat and drink during the show. It's not stiff, and we like to let people get to know the candidates. I know that people are familiar with you, but just you and I being able to talk for a little while, I think makes that comfort level go up. So to start with, just the plain old mundane randomness. You've already been a United States Senator before. I personally believe you did a very, very good job as U.S. Senator. You were Attorney General. And so why do you want to go back to the U.S. Senate? I jokingly, before we started, said, look, I understand election. It's re-election that you have to question sometimes.
Well, look, there's a window of opportunity, in my opinion, for some of the issues that I've fought for a long time. Particularly immigration and trade, something you know a lot about.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not sure we the Republicans in the Senate are passionate enough, dedicated enough to help the President Trump get this done. And you know, let's be frank. A president's reelected. I think he will be. He'll have a couple of years before he becomes a real lame duck.
Right.
And we got some momentum when we're coming out of the chute. And I believe that nobody knows both of those issues, really, that better than I, who understands the Trump approach to it, which is sound on both of them. And we've got to get it done. And I put a lot of time and effort in it. It's something I believe in. I think we can serve America by ending the lawlessness at our border.
Yes.
Building that wall, completing that, and then defending the American manufacturing and jobs against unfair competition. And we got to have a senator that goes there that understands that, not only just votes. Sometimes people will cast a vote, but a good representative of the people is passionate, advocate, stays up at night thinking about how to push this agenda and get the things they believe is good for America. So that's where I am about it. I'm offering myself to say I'm willing to do that.
Yes, sir.
I believe in it, and I'm honest about what I just said.
So you don't think Mitt Romney's going to carry the banner for us?
Well, we got too much of that. I mean, really, Scott, you've watched it. You've seen it in the Alabama legislature. There are people that are cast a vote every now and when they're mm-hmm. pushed to.
Right, right. When everyone else forces them to,
yeah.
When the pressure's there. But behind closed doors, they're always shucking and jiving and working in the other direction,
right?
Anytime they can.
Yeah. Well, I never sold out to the special interest, and even the Republican leadership, I support them whenever I can, and we have good relationships. But I bucked them on trade, on the TPP. That yeah. thing passed with every Republican but five, and
right.
I basically got those to join with me in my criticism of it. Senator Shelby voted with us, me, and Ted Cruz. Rand Paul, mm-hmm. but that was about it.
I don't even want to say.
And then,
how'd you get Shelby with you and Cruz and Paul and that?
Shelby's has a should is I think, unappreciated how he consistently votes with Alabama conservative values.
And there's no doubt. In the last decade, he's done a very good job.
Yeah, he
job.
Has.
There's no
and
doubt.
He's been
no
a
doubt.
Good friend of mine, and my respect for him has grown over the years. But that was an unusual vote. But that they got so much support. So I'm looking that way, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, that the trade battle that we had would create an almost European Union.
Right.
12 countries. Each country got one vote. Sultan of Brunei gets one mm-hmm. vote.
The President and the United,
of the United States
gets
one
vote.
Vote.
Yeah.
And it's what I talked to President Trump about on the campaign plane as we traveled all over the country. We've got the leverage. They need our markets.
Right.
We say individually, Brunei, we'll do a trade deal with you, but if you start cheating us, we're out.
Right.
We don't have to get somebody else to vote.
Right. We don't need some international judicial panel to tell us whether or not we're in the right, especially when most of those international panels are opposed to us. A couple other things. Are you doing the debate, the Channel 13? Is there a debate tonight, tomorrow night?
I'm not doing one tomorrow night, no.
Okay.
And
that was
probably
a
will
a
do some
had
debates.
Yesterday.
Yeah, I've been on some forums with people. I've been on lots of radio programs and, you know, where you get to ask a lot of questions. You have to state your views. But we got candidates out there that are working, but it's time for the voters to scrutinize them.
Right.
Like Tommy Tuberville. His statement on crossing the border was really amnesty. He said, they come across the border, they just want jobs. And we want them to have jobs and become citizens.
Oh, I think that is going to bite him roughly, and we're going to talk about that issue today.
Okay.
After you're gone. And no, I agree. People are just now beginning to focus on that issue. I want to ask a couple of things. A lot of people across the state of Alabama honestly have issues with you, and I want to give you the opportunity to answer those questions. You were appointed or nominated to be Attorney General of the United States. When was it you decided that you would recuse yourself from the Russia investigation? Because I've heard from different people. Was it after you were confirmed? Was it during your confirmation process? I mean, was there a chance for you to be able to go back to the president and say, hey, look, I'm going to have to recuse myself from this. Do you want to do something different?
Well, that's
real the sticking point, and I want to give you the opportunity to talk about it.
Well, I would do nothing to hurt the president. I work my heart out for him. I travel.
Oh, you campaigned for him more than anybody else
probably.
Did, no doubt. And took a lot of grief for it until he won.
And I didn't. How did that happen? When I became attorney general, I was given a briefing on this case.
Okay.
Nobody talked about it at the when I was up
for
confirmation.
So you didn't recuse like it during the confirmation? You didn't say,
no.
I would, okay.
No, I was asked, though, a standard question that we ask Democrats and they ask us, if a matter comes up that has a conflict of interest, will you recuse yourself? And I said, yes, I would. I would consult with the top officials in the department who are experts in that, and then I would evaluate it and make a decision. That was the answer. Nobody went into any of this
because it wasn't being discussed.
It's
the Russia thing or it's the Mueller thing. Gotcha. Gotcha. I understand. I think that's fine. I think that's a fair question because the thought process was out there, and I think even myself at times remembered the confirmation hearing and you saying, yeah, if something came up, I would recuse myself. And in our minds, we've kind of made that into, oh, well, they asked him about it. He knew ahead of time. He knew before he was confirmed. The only thing I disagreed with you on, really, and I said it on the show when I had the old show, was when you agreed to not vote for yourself for confirmation. Because there's only 100 senators. And I was screaming at the TV going, Jeff, no. If it comes down to one vote, we're likely to have some knucklehead, the equivalent of Mitt Romney when he wasn't there, vote no, and we need you to vote for yourself. But that was my only thing.
Well, so, that is not a bad thought, actually. It was a matter we discussed, and maybe we should have just stood firm. I think maybe that's the best principled position to take.
That's true.
Should a candidate not vote to
themselves? Fire with fire. So you go to the Attorney General's office. Do you believe there's a deep state that was out to get Donald Trump?
I believe that the Comey and his team had commenced an investigation that we now know didn't reach fruition. I also believe and know for a fact that there are strong regulations in the Department of Justice that you should not investigate a campaign unless you have a real high basis for it, a strong basis for it. That's what I strongly support Attorney General Barr. Attorney General Barr says we're going to find out if there was a predicate for this investigation. Was there a sufficient basis to have the federal, even intelligence agencies and the FBI, to start investigating a presidential campaign? That is a dangerous thing, and the policy was written by Eric Holder, and it was stronger than the previous policies. But we've always had that policy. You should not allow the FBI to get involved in a campaign. And so the other side says, the FBI is investigating my opponent. It always leaks. It's always a mess. And so this is the policy. They've gone forward, and Barr has chosen John Durham, who I know and respect, to head that investigation. The president has said these other agencies, CIA, Defense, the Director of National Intelligence, those agencies are going to cooperate because they don't like to be investigated by the FBI or the Department of Justice. They think they don't need to be. But he said you will cooperate, and so I'm confident that we're going to find out some things here. Already it looks like the FISA has been exposed as having defects. One lawyer apparently actually changed a document. Well, that is stunning. The Department of Justice
I want to ask
lawyer.
When I come back, are you surprised by those things? I want you to answer that. We got to take a commercial break, but are you surprised? Because I think you probably, like a lot of Americans, had faith in the system. You had been a United States prosecutor, and to find out that these folks are willing to do these things, was it shocking? You don't have to answer. We got to take a break. Scott Beeson Radio, Senator Jeff Sessions is with me, and I think we're asking the questions that a bunch of folks around the state have chosen to avoid because of a little starstruckness, but I appreciate the senator's honesty, and we'll be right back.
One, two.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. Scott Beeson Radio. Senator Jeff Sessions is my guest. And I want to get back to that question, the whole idea of the deep state. Were you surprised? Okay, so you've recused yourself. I think you explained that. I don't want to speak for you, but if you want to say, hey, look, I really wished I could have got back in. Did you see things happening? Were you surprised when you started realizing, hey, look, there are career people in the Department of Justice and the FBI who literally want to undermine a campaign, a presidency that is unheard of. I mean, what were your thoughts when you were seeing and learning all these things?
Well, you had a number of things that I wish hadn't happened. Like Mueller had a good reputation, but he hired all these Democrat lawyers. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a pretty left-wing bunch of political lawyers, it looked
like. Right.
Most Department of Justice lawyers don't contribute to any campaign, much less, what was it, 13 or something, that he contributed to Hillary Clinton?
Yes.
That was not healthy.
And so you're like, wait a minute, I can't say, if it was me, I'd be, and I'm sure you were, I'd just like going,
well,
come
yeah,
on. Kind of
well,
message
I was
can
confident.
I send without being in
yeah.
trouble?
I was always confident the president would be cleared. I was on the campaign. I never saw any of that, and I don't believe it ever happened, and I never believed it happened. Then they proved it didn't happen.
Right.
Proved he didn't do it. When you take why this lawyer, to me, having been a United States attorney in Alabama 12 years, I supervised prosecutors, the thought that somebody would actually change a document like one of these lawyers did is really stunning to me and has to be vigorously looked at. And it would appear to be, if it's what it appears to be, that ought to result in some sort of prosecution. And whatever else they'll find, I don't know. When I became Attorney General, we made a lot of changes. People don't appreciate that. I'm telling you. The New York Times wrote a critical piece of me June after I took office, and said that Sessions was advancing the Trump agenda with, quote, head-turning speed, leaving career attorneys disoriented by the sea change. I got that printed.
I like that.
I mean, that's exactly what we felt like we were doing. Remember the Baker case in Colorado about the cake for the a wedding?
Right.
We flipped sides on that and won that in Supreme Court from Obama. We defended an abortion clinic in California where they were forced to put up a sign in their clinic.
Oh, the pro-life clinic.
I said that wrong.
Yes.
Pro-life clinic place that counseled women who voluntarily came there. They made them put up a sign that said, this is where you go to get an abortion. And they felt like
case.
They were forced to advocate in their own offices, private property. Principal A opposed sincerely. We won that one. We switched sides and we joined on that one. So we did a lot of those things that were controversial. But sometimes all the other issues were so controversial, Scott, it helped us.
Because you
didn't draw quite as much
criticism
as we would have if other issues weren't dominating the news media. So we did, and a number of people said no cabinet department was more effective in carrying out the president's agenda. I believe we did. Now, there are attorneys that are used to taking one position in a case. They approve the Obama agenda and legal positions, and we changed some of them. So some of them didn't like it.
Right.
But
well, we've got the almost 2,000 former DOJ officials complaining about Barr weighing in on the sentencing of Stone, those kinds of things. So it's clear they have a political bias. I would just imagine a lot of people, including myself, maybe you, or just surprised, tell me, because we grow up, we watch these movies, you know, it's the CIA guys or the FBI guys, or, you know, and they're the patriots and they're making sure, and these people seem to be willing to undermine the country. McCabe is a good example. What you got, the folks in the DC area deciding not to prosecute him. Are you surprised by those things? Do you think these people who did these things should be prosecuted?
Those are tough calls. Perjury is harder than a lot of people realize to prosecute. But the report came to me from the IG, Inspector General of the Department of Justice, and a recommendation from the FBI. And I fired McCabe. You remember,
that's
it actually
true.
Came to me. I moved on it quickly, but it was a day before he was eligible for retirement benefits. He'll still get some things, but then it went from there. I was confident that there was a basis to conclude that he had not been candid and that they had leaked. As far as I was concerned, whether he lied about it or not, these people at the top of the FBI were leaking, leaking, leaking.
Right.
And it is not right. I was taught as a young prosecutor, you maintain discipline in your office. You, as a U.S. attorney, had to maintain discipline, and you don't leak. And it still galls me. We went from 3 to 27 leak investigations. And I think it's gotten somewhat better.
Good.
Chris Wray, the new director, he doesn't talk himself, and nobody else is leaking much anymore. And Bill Barr, I'm sure, feels the same way as I did. And
well, I also
I think
we've
improved that.
The press does a good job of trying to cause conflict or strife between people who may not be at loggerheads. I just don't think Barr and the president are having the problems that the press wish they were. I don't know that you and the president were having the problems that they wanted to act like we're having. Let me ask the last thing. You are hoping to become the Republican nominee for the U.S. Senate to take on Doug Jones, who clearly does not believe, act on, vote like, however you want to say it, what the people of the state of Alabama think. Doug Jones, in my opinion, is a U.S. senator because the Republican Party decided they did not like the Republican nominee, and some people at the very, very top, going all the way to Washington, decided to torpedo Roy Moore. And regardless of what people think about Roy Moore, if they didn't like him, he could have been a senator for 2 years. Do you agree or disagree with what a lot of talk radio hosts, a lot of influential Republicans did to cause us to have Doug Jones to be a U.S. Senator?
Well, I voted for Judge Moore.
Yes, sir.
That's my answer to it. No, he, I don't know that exactly what all happened in his life years ago.
Right.
It looked like there were some bad things, but my conclusion was, like you said, if people didn't want to stay with him, they could elect someone else. Look, Doug Jones, more than a lot of Democrats, it's very, very clear and obvious today, is a Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer Democrat.
Oh, I agree.
And what the people of Alabama need to know is, that most probably do, that the party that has a majority selects a leader, now Mitch McConnell. Democrats would select Chuck Schumer, and every committee is chaired by that party.
Right.
It's a monumental thing to get a majority. And he supported Nancy Pelosi's withholding of the articles going over for political reasons. He supported only the witnesses Chuck Schumer wanted to call. And it shouldn't have been a surprise, I guess, he voted to convict and remove President Trump, contrary to the wishes of the people of Alabama. So I don't think there was any basis for removal of the president. And he is contrary to our agenda. He needs to be removed.
No, I don't agree. I figure y'all have to go unless you want to stay for another segment. If you're enjoying it a lot, I'll give you opportunity to talk about all the different things. I only have about 30 seconds, but I wanted to point out something I've told people many, many times, and the reason I asked this question. Jeff Sessions is with me, and
we'll stay a little bit.
We'll stay a little bit longer. I want to say about something I thought years ago about you. Scott Beeson Radio, Senator Jeff Sessions is with us. He has agreed to stay for just a little bit longer. You know, we don't have to wait on the commercial break next time. If y'all got to get up in the middle and go, that's fine. But we'll be right back.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried. A cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio. Oh, 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 oh.
How to get somewhere 20 years from now. Welcome back to the program. Am I on? Off on? Been on? Yeah. Got to give me. Okay. As long as I didn't say anything stupid while we were off the air, that's fine. No worries. Senator Jeff Sessions is with me on the show. He has agreed to stay for another segment or two. And Senator, I wanted to say this with you here and other people to listen. I've often said, because of the beliefs you have and the battles you've been willing to fight, you were great on illegal immigration, which I think is one of the most important issues for the future of the Republic. And when you first became a U.S. senator, it was all during kind of the early winds of change. Republicans were winning in places they had not won before. And I've always said that the establishment, the elites, if they had known how conservative you would be when you got to the United States Senate, and that you would have taken on illegal immigration, trade, problems with China, et cetera, they would not have supported you. And I say that with all candor, and I say it as I'm so happy that you got there, because I experienced it where the establishment said, hey, wait a minute, why are you talking about illegal immigration? And I literally said to one association, you paid for the mail piece. You gave me the money for the mail piece that says Scott Beeson believes illegal aliens should be deported, not rewarded. Y'all paid for that, and now you're bashing me. So you understand how strong these forces are. You and I had a meeting one time, a private meeting, where you encouraged me in the battle over illegal immigration, and I can't tell you how much that gave me confidence to continue what we're doing in the state of Alabama. But off the air, and I thank you for those things, off the air, we were talking about the issues that will impact the country for years and years and years to come. And you were telling me about an opportunity that Republicans have, and I want to give you the opportunity to expand on that.
Well, thank you, Scott. I think there is an opportunity. It'll be a window of opportunity, year or two, to accomplish some things that may never get accomplished. If we don't get the wall built and the enforcement at the border in the first 2 years of Trump's administration reelection, do you think it'll ever get done? I don't think so.
Right.
You can't have somebody who thinks it's fine for people just to walk across the border because they want jobs, and we should let them have jobs, mm-hmm. and that we should make them citizens one day. That's what essentially Tommy Tuberville has said.
Right.
You have to go there with some passion and a deep understanding on this one. This was a big issue. But look, they got that. You got the situation in which we had free traders. Tommy Tuberville says he disagrees with Trump on trade. He's a free trader, he says. That is the dividing line.
Right.
The fair traders and the free traders. That is the issue. And we've got the fair traders are
and
the Trump
team. And for
years
we thought that was the same word.
Yes.
We all thought they were saying it was the same thing, and they're not. Free trade has now become put American workers at a disadvantage, put America at a disadvantage, let everybody ship our jobs overseas, sell us the exact same product back for more so that some CEO who's going to not even run the company in 5 years makes a fortune and we lose jobs, we lose business, we have people unemployed, the whole nine yards. But fair trade, where I believe you and I are, is, look, yeah, I'll buy something from them, they'll buy something from me, we won't have tariffs, y'all are not going to get an advantage, we don't necessarily want an advantage, let's just be fair about it. And that's where the president is.
That's a nice summary of it, honestly. And the problem is our partners are not free traders. They're mercantilists.
Right.
China wants Japan, all of the countries. They're allies, some of them, but they want to sell more to us and buy less from us.
Mm-hmm.
They think, correctly, really, that when you close an American factory and they make the product and ship it to us instead of making it here, they get workers being paid wages and we close the factory and our people become unemployed. It's a factor in the decline in wages. So is bringing in more labor than the market calls for. It brings down the price of salaries for working Americans.
So this is a battle
for the Republicans in the next few years. We need to assert boldly without equivocation that we believe in America, American first. We're going to defend our workers. We're going to defend our borders. And that's what President Trump is about. And he has seen for the first time in 20 years wages go up more than inflation. It's really stunning. And if we can keep that going, Republicans will have honored their commitment to help working Americans for a change.
Right.
To listen to them for a change.
Well, that's the question.
And that's
how
a majority party.
How do we get there?
Well,
the opportunity is there, but we're going to end up, it's like the getting rid of Obamacare. All these senators vote for it when they know it can't pass. I love all the bravery when it can't pass. A bunch of U.S. House members are like that now, by the way. Oh, they're all sponsoring stuff. Man, we're going to do all this. I'm like, where were you when y'all were in the majority? But how do we get there? Because we got to have more votes. We can't do it by the skin of our teeth. We got to have a number of Republican U.S. senators, and we got to control the House.
Well, sometimes they change their votes if the heat gets built up. Like, that's how we took down immigration three different times. They were spending millions of dollars for these amnesty bills. And we took it down because we energized the American people and Republicans switched their votes against it. So I would just say that, yes, we can't be defeatist.
Right.
Right?
That's
we
correct.
We have to believe that somehow, some way, the American democracy will make its voice heard. But we don't need to send a nubbin to Washington to represent Alabama. I'm telling you. We need to send somebody from Alabama who is going to fight for these things, for working middle-class Alabama people and all over America, and accomplish these things in the next year or two. And if the Lord allows me, I think I can make a difference because I understand it. Also, Scott, to win a battle, you got to know the media. I mean, I know Laura Ingraham and Tucker Carlson and Shannon Bream, and I've been on their shows. They know me. They respect me. All the talk show people all over the country, right. Hugh Hewitt and all of them, they all know me. All the groups that fight for conservative causes, they know me. The anti-immigration groups, people want to end all the illegality, they mm-hmm. know and trust me. So I have an ability I don't want to be bragging here, but I just do feel like I have an opportunity to help create and further the movement that can make America better. I also know we got some great new younger senators that could use some encouragement and lift.
Right.
Tom Cotton, Josh Hawley is great out of Missouri. Chris, you know, Ted Cruz and all that have been friends over the years. So we can do a better job of working together to raise some of these issues. And if the Republicans will do it, I don't think it's hopeless. I remember one caucus in about 2015, and we had an economic plan, and I raised my hand. I said, there's nothing in it about wages going up.
Right.
I'm not voting for a plan that doesn't say we're going to help working people get a better wage.
How do they miss that? I mean, they've got all these consultants, and maybe the consultants are a little screwy. I question Karl Rove at times, and, well, most times. But how do they miss that it's the conservative middle-class base, the people who believe in America and the founding principles? How is it that they get so disconnected and want to do what big business says, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce? And I'm asking this because if you could tell me the answer, I can never figure out why it's so bad other than just dollars in campaigns.
Well, it's dollars sometimes, mm-hmm. Frankly. Another reason is people go around and they meet with leaders in their community. Many of them are successful business types, and they're good people. But they just what you hear from is their concerns,
right?
And not the average lady who's got to buy four new tires for her car, and she doesn't have the money,
right.
And she's got to put it on a credit card that's got 25% interest on it. I mean, this is real life. Median income in America is $55,000 a year. It's gone up a little bit on
right.
Trump, but it used to be that. And that means lots of people are – half of America makes less than that. And a lot of them make $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, and
right.
it's hard to raise a family on
it. It is. I remember.
And nobody's listening sufficiently to their concerns.
Right. When the economy kind of turned down and we were fighting the illegal immigration battle – I remember pointing out, because there were all these framers losing their jobs, drywall guys losing their jobs, all these ladies that worked in the service industry were losing their jobs. And I remember pointing out, because these business guys would come in, and yeah, there were a lot of them neighbors and friends, and they would talk about, well, I can't get anybody to work. And I got to have these illegal aliens. They got to do this. And it always interested me that they were able to pay the illegal workers less, but the house or the product or the service that they were providing, it never got cheaper for me, the consumer. So there was that gap there. His profit went up while Alabamians ended up out of work, on unemployment, trying to find a new job. And then you get the stuff from what Biden and, you know, they need to learn to code and Bloomberg saying farmers and everybody else is an idiot unless you're Bloomberg. It's that kind of attitude. It's the... Sometimes we have to put America first and realize, hey, look, we're all in this boat together. And unfortunately, we're not getting that across. Although I hope you're able to convince some of those folks in Washington, D.C. to do the right thing. And Senator, I appreciate you being here. I don't know what question I could have asked that I've heard that people have called me about or said that would be any different. I appreciate you taking the time and being straightforward with me and telling me
thank
what you,
you Scott
in.
It's good to be with you, and I do believe that there's an opportunity in the next couple of years that we can make some real progress, and even the Republican Party could be reach out more effectively and build a coalition of Americans. You know, Trump got more Hispanic votes than previous Republicans. He got more African Americans than previous Republicans. He got more independents than previous Republicans, and he got Democrats too. And so if he keeps we help him understand why he's been. I went to those rallies with him all over the country. I saw those people, 20,000 plus people all over the country, and him talking directly to them about what he thought. They believed in him. He's allowed us to have great judges. He's got taxes. He's got regulations. The economy is growing. The judges are huge.
No, that's a huge one.
And so a lot of these things that he's delivered on we need to celebrate that when he's reelected, understand that agenda, and push it forward. I'll be arguing for that within the conference and in the media if I'm elected. And I would ask the votes of the people of Alabama.
Absolutely.
You've been good to me before. I'll try to be worthy, as I always have, of the confidence you've placed in me.
And let me thank you for something else, that you didn't go out and write Jeff Sessions' memoir the day you left, because apparently that's what they do in Washington, D.C. They leave the administration in some fashion and then go, that guy was a meanie. He was a meanie, fired me, or whatever it was. So I appreciate you. I've heard you say it a couple of times in different places that your conversations with the president are private conversations, and that's the way they stay because you believe that's right. It is right. It's not just that you believe it's right. That's the way it's supposed to be. I was in government long enough to know that my conversation with staff, other people, and other legislators is to be private.
Yes, you can't govern
if you're the FBI.
You can't govern if you can't talk to your people, and they don't
Correct.
Need to be out there blabbing every dadgum thing. Besides, it's only the way they remember it.
That's
Maybe
right.
the president remembers it differently. Now he's going to be an argument with his former national security advisor
right.
over private conversations. You should not do that. We want him to succeed. You serve the president. He's the head of the executive branch. We have a unified executive branch. The president is the constitutional head of it, and you try to help him when you can. You can't, do things that are improper,
right.
but you try to help him achieve his goals. I believe in the president's goals. He's delivered far more than people would ever have expected. We're doing better than people could have expected a few years ago. I want him to continue to be successful. And it's not personal. It's not. I know he got mad at me about the recusal, but I have not changed. The
Absolutely.
Things that caused me to support President Trump, he's delivered on.
Yes, sir.
I'm proud of what he did.
Absolutely. Jeff Sessions has been my guest, former senator, former attorney general. I appreciate you coming in. Y'all be careful out there. It's nasty. Scott Beeson Radio. We'll be back.